Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this hour of A Moment with Self. I'm your host, Dr. Daniel Sadiq, greeting you with love and friendship. In my practice of psychotherapy, there are some themes that are more consistently observed than others. Anxiety, depression, anger, loss, and other emotional reactivities are some of the most common problems that my clients generally feel. These clients experience phobias and fears that bring them discomfort. They experience failures and disappointments that induce sadness. They experience resistances and hostilities that provoke defiance. They experience deaths and breakups that result in grief and loneliness. And there are many difficult situations in their lives that eventually end up with reactions. And those reactions are generally in negativity and with exaggerated sense of sensitivity. In most of these conditions, when we pay more attention to the events and the detailed personal histories of these people, we often realize a common denominator. The person who's suffering is generally dealing with some unresolved issues from their childhood that continues to affect this person until today. So let's ask this question. What is there about our childhoods that keep us haunted with all of these emotions? What's going on in these childhoods that after so many years we're still suffering from issues that have happened many, many, many years ago? You may ask why a 60-year-old man who lost his father when he was 12 does not trust anyone and picks up fights with his children and spouse. Or you may ask why a 50-year-old woman who was molested when she was 10 is now tending to be controlling in her relationships. You may ask why a successful attorney whose parents were working very hard when he was growing up and they didn't have much time for him, nowadays as a grown-up, he is not able to be reasonable and passionate in his personal relationships. Or you may ask why a talented musician who was physically abused when he was a child or she was a child is suffering from addictions right now to drugs, sex, or other addictions. Well, if we look carefully at all of these cases, what we notice is that each one of these people faced a traumatic situation that was beyond his or her emotional tolerance, threshold. They all survived the traumas that affected their lives. They grew out of their toxic environments, and eventually they moved on to live their lives as professionals and valued adults. But are they able to have a happy life nowadays based upon what we just observed? They're not. As we notice, how they have continued is sabotaging their own lives, and they are suffering from dysfunctional relationships and irresponsible behaviors that gets on the way of their success. Especially it gets on the way of separating those past experiences from where they are today in their lives. Although they even might have forgotten about what had happened to them or pushed it aside or just ignored it or didn't want to deal with it, they are still suffering, and we can conclude that they are not relieved from those beliefs that they had created for themselves during their developmental stages. I can tell you with certainty that none of these people are able to put that past completely aside and go on with life in a happy way, the way that they have been dealing with it so far. Then what is it that's holding them back? Why are they still influenced by these events of the past? Well, the decisions and the choices that we have made during those early days of our lives, in the way that we dealt with those difficulties and hardships that we went through, might have been really the best way that a child could have dealt with them. You know, after all, a child's mind, especially we consider children until age 18, and we now know that the prefrontal cortex doesn't really get set in women till age 21 and in men till age about 23, 24, and that is where we make our decisions. So we can see that the children could not be good decision makers. However, they still had to find out a way that they could deal with the traumatic experiences and the emotional hardships that they felt. So they had to come up with some strategies, some resolutions that they went and they devised inside of themselves. For example, the young child who became a musician needed to numb his pain by escaping emotionally and mentally. Or the young child who became an attorney learned how to be a bully with other kids in school, and this way he could exert his power and be in control. The young girl who was molested at age 10, she took advantage of her friends and manipulated them to get what she wanted out of them in those days, to be in a situation that she could use what they offered her. Or the young boy who lost his father at age 12, for example, he decided that he could never count on anyone to protect him and make him feel safe. Each one of these children had found a way to defend him or herself against those disturbing and intolerable feelings. And that's how they succeeded in growing up resiliently. But do you ever wonder, where does this pain go, the pain that they had? What do they do with that? We know that they stuff it inside, but this stuffing inside really is not a physical sense. We are pushing it into our emotional system. So subconsciously we are controlled by those behaviors that we have already set, or the programs that we're running in our head. These children control their feelings by pressing them down, hiding them, ignoring them, or projecting them onto others, denying them, or even acting them out. But those feelings never really went away. They created those subconscious programs that, just like a computer, you know, they're running underneath the whole screen, and we are not aware of the programs that are at play. And in us, in human beings, these programs that we have created for ourselves at those young ages, they continue into our adulthood, and they form our relationships, they shape our behaviors, and make the choices that we do on a daily basis. Now, the only time that these choices can change is to have some sort of awareness. And this awareness can come through therapy, psychotherapy, or maybe talking for a long time with somebody who has some sort of a mentorship for these people, or maybe by education. But often enough, we have to really pursue it. Even in therapy, they still continue to deal with those issues, especially before they get to know the existence of something that we call the inner child, and that is the subject that we're talking mostly tonight about. This inner child reluctantly attempts to protect us, but in effect it stops us from our personal growth and accepting responsibility. And that's what happens to these people. The child that went through all of these traumatic situations found those defenses ran those programs, now as an adult still running those programs in order to protect the adult. Now this adult's needs are totally different than the child, but still the programs that are obsolete and infected like a computer program, nowadays they're still running us down with not much productivity and not much result. The concept of the inner child has been discussed in different forms by many thinkers, psychologists, philosophers. Carl Jung, who's a psychologist from Switzerland, used the term the divine child to describe the inner child as the common symbol for every human being's vulnerability and dependence. The sensitive and dependent infant who is just born is generally filled with joy of life, and as its essence, that child, that infant, is intuitive, playful, curious, spontaneous, and creative. But by exposure to the realities of life, this infant starts to feel both good and bad, or in other words, experiences pain and pleasure. The pleasures are generally aligned with that joyful feeling that we are born with, and it feels comfortable, it feels familiar to the child, because that's how we are born into this world, with joy. And as this comfortable feeling goes on, we build confidence in moving forward in life. But what about the pain? When the pain becomes present, when those disturbing situations arise, we don't want those feelings. We need them to go away. So the child has to hide or ignore its vulnerabilities in order to survive while he or she is growing up. This protective nature of the child, which we call the psychological defenses, then protect the child from harm and hurt in those times. As the mind of this inner child manipulates and thrives for acceptance and attention, it also needs to be cared for and loved. But when it does not receive much external protection, sense of protection in childhood, then this psychological health of this person breaks up in doubts, fears, and worries. And this broken and defensive structure then becomes stronger and stronger and eventually attacks the joyful and the wholesome essence of the person by devaluing the person, destroying whatever that person could build, and destroying any trace of appropriate confidence in that person. So this person's confidence is shut down, no self-esteem, no self-worth, and beginning of a lot of problems. So you can see how the self-sabotaging inner child needs healing. When we come from a family of origin that was not healthy, those wounds of childhood are deep and make us subconsciously live our adult lives in emotional reactivity. Another person who's talked about the inner child is Emmett Fox. He's a spiritual thinker from Ireland who lost his father at age 10. He addressed some of the largest audiences ever as a person who taught others about the meaning of life. He talked about the wonder child as the holder of courage, hope, and trust. And this wonder child also has contempt for doubt, fear, worry, and other anxious states of mind. Another person who talked about this subject of the inner child is called Charlie Whitfield. He's a medical doctor, and he wrote a book, and the name of the book is Healing the Child Within. In this book, he talked about the inner child as alive, energetic, creative, and fulfilled part of us that is lost to trauma and loss. He explained how by recovering the essence of that joyful child, one can heal his or her fears, confusion, and unhappiness in the adult life. The joyful child that lives inside of us needs to be free, happy, and without worries. But in our way of looking at the inner child, unfortunately what we see that this inner child has become the protector of the adult, and by using the strategies that are not useful anymore for an adult, tries to make life better for this adult, which imagine what happens. Imagine an 8-year-old wants to run a 48-year-old man or woman's life. Imagine how the 8-year-old or 10-year-old or 12-year-old acts in marriage, in parenting, even in work. I'm sure you can see that very clearly. Whitfield, who is a physician, had 16 years of experience treating people with alcohol, drug, and family problems. And also in his private practice in Baltimore, he focused on working with adult children of dysfunctional families and codependents. He explains why it is that living from a false sense of self or a codependent self that cannot feel real, complete, whole, sane, and how it is rooted in the repression of those early childhood observations, feelings, and reactions. By uncovering the things that were repressed, we can see how self-esteem, assertiveness, appropriate boundaries, flexibility, fun, and playfulness can find some space to grow out of us. Fortunately, the recent brain research, especially those that were done on the effects of trauma on the brain of developing children, has started to support Whitfield's understanding as a psychiatrist and also what we do nowadays in psychotherapy. The arrested development of these children in adult form stages different childhood positions that were never resolved, and they stop us from emotional growth and trap us into a defense mechanism that never works. We are stuck in this position until we unlearn those defenses. I'm going to repeat that. We unlearn. The key is unlearn. We have learned a lot of things that today we don't need to use, and we need to unlearn those defenses that we have picked up along the way. In working with the inner child, our attempt is not to learn something new, as I said. It is the opposite of it. We are trying to let go of certain beliefs and understandings that are obsolete. And one more time, just that, like the computer program that is either infected with viruses or has been outdated, we need to delete some information and open up space in order to add capacity for downloading and installing new updated program and information. Well, John Bradshaw, in his powerful book, Homecoming, Reclaiming and Championing Your Inner Child, he teaches us the nurturance that the inner child needed and did not receive. He suggests that we need to offer ourselves the good parenting that we needed and longed for. I've learned in my own practice that in working with my clients, very similar to Bradshaw's suggestions, through a step-by-step process of exploring the unfinished business or the stuck positions in each developmental stage, I support breaking away from destructive should, disappointing neglects, harsh punishments, loss of self-esteem, abandoning relationships, unprocessed grief, and devastating abuses that have destroyed the sense of responsibility and the ability that needs to be present in today's life. The inner child should only be a playful and happy construct that is not running our lives, putting us down, or sabotaging our potentials for growth. The self-sabotaging patterns that we pick up by using those things that we have learned as children, those continue to fail us, and we don't know why these failures are happening, why our relationships are breaking up, why we cannot hold a job, why we are dependent on medication, drugs, sex, alcohol, gambling. The inner child should be a source of vitality, happiness, and zest for life, nothing else. This child should be running alongside of us happily, smilingly, and without any worries. But instead, this child is worried, anxious, angry, shameful, and trying to control everything that the adult is trying to do. You can see how deeply disturbing this inner child can become instead of being a joyful source of energy. Dr. Hugh Misseldine, who's the author of the groundbreaking bestseller Your Inner Child of the Past, points out that therapy that's focused on inner child and identifying how it shapes behavior can integrate the inner child into the adult personality. The integration of this inner child from the position or the stuck developmental stages into where we are today at the age we are, the experiences that we are witnessing today, is the key to a healthy mental and emotional state of being. Likewise, in my practice, by using EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, and also by using somatic psychotherapy along with some other sound psychological techniques, I've been able to work through a lot of this information that are sitting in our memories, in our psychological subconscious part of the brain, and we are able to open these files up, review them, examine them, and don't hold on to what is not necessarily important to be hold on to. And that's why through some other techniques like Gestalt, the chair therapy in Gestalt actually, we can see that how this child and adult can have a very powerful dialogue, conversation. And this conversation should be something ongoing inside of these clients, because now once the adult inside of this person starting to have a voice, starting to have identity, starting to be more aware, the chances of the child to continue sabotaging the situation becomes less. So the awareness has to be in form of a dialogue that's ongoing between the adult sense of self and the child sense of self, and eventually by the triumph of the adult to become the decision maker, the child has to be put into the position of just having fun, running around, enjoying, and we enjoy this child's laughter and a good sense of being. As the developmental stages are reviewed and the events are clarified, the clients sense peace, acceptance, and that will take over the anger and anxiety that they have suffered for a long time. In order to be able to do more of this type of work, I often have seminars and classes And tonight I would like to share with you a seminar that is coming up on Sunday, September 22nd. In this seminar, which is called The Joyful Inner Child and Effective Communication, my goal is to establish the importance of this inner child, actually the joyful inner child, and how through effective communication we're able to change the dialogue from that unhappy and controlling inner child into that integrated, joyful inner child. So through this workshop or seminar that is starting at 2 p.m. and ends at 6:30, I will be talking about a lot of different parts of communication, especially the effective communication that is not often taught to us. You know, most people are not coming from families that communication was so easily flowing, and they have been good role models to teach us what's the best way to explain our feelings, our emotions, how to be able to resolve problems. And in schools, they never take that time to teach us. We have really officially never had an opportunity to find out what communication should be like. So my goal in this seminar, like many other seminars that I've had in the past and I will have in the future, the goal is to identify the boundaries first that need to be set to have a communication that's healthy. So in order to set these boundaries, we need to have clarity and knowing our positions. We need to be able to state our discomforts and be able to address the stop points that we would like other people to have when they're intruding us. We'll discuss the ability to know the needs that we have and be able to point them out in the areas that those needs are ignored or held from our reach. We'll also talk about recognizing our limitations and how we can avoid violations of where we are or the directions we go, or others are violating our space respectfully. One of the most important words that we'll be focusing on is assertivity. So we talk about being assertive and functioning in self-confidence, because without self-confidence, assertivity is not possible. We mostly end up being passive-aggressive, any combination. We will honor self and others' psychological qualities, capacities, and their limitations. We learn how to allow for ourselves and others to make mistakes, while both of us, we can learn from the results of the failures. We focus on having values for every relationship and being able to keep a non-judgmental stance on situations. That's a very important issue also. When we are being judgmental, that's the inner child. The adult is not judgmental. The adult is factual. Just notices what's going on as a fact, not as hypothesis, not as guesses, and makes choices accordingly. Another factor that's very important is separating our personal feelings from our family's feelings or the groups that we're in or the workplace. And that is how we can contain our emotional reactivity and have a proper way of expressing ourselves. Well, in this seminar, we also focus on agreements, because if we are not able to reach agreements, then this child is still in function and in activity, because the adult is able to find solutions and come to terms and agreements with others. The child necessarily can't. So in learning agreements, we will acknowledge freedom while we are setting those boundaries. We will show how we can adhere to secure limitations that allow us to have a deeper understanding of the situation. Freedom is a very huge, huge concept in humans' psychological way of being, because without freedom, we are feeling trapped, we're feeling lonely, isolated. So our attention to others' freedom without losing ours is becoming very important, and vice versa. Our ability to act according to a mutual understanding needs to be discussed. Our ability to make choices based upon the limitations that are set for us in those agreements are needed to be discussed. Something that I often talk about is responsibility, which it stands for the ability to respond properly, in my opinion. Most of the time, this child, that inner child, is not responsible, is not acting in a way that is showing appropriate manner. The child is showing reaction. The child does not have the capabilities to think through a situation. So the reactions are the dominant way of behaving. So in making responsible choices, we create security, safety, self-confidence. So it becomes really important to, in this seminar, to understand what responsible choices are. Clarity is another factor that's really important. Without clarity, we cannot go forward. So curiosity and clarity are two components of finding out what is going on in every stage and being able to choose responsibly after that. Sometimes there are unspoken expectations of others that need to be understood and dealt with, because they become disappointing, frustrating, anger-provoking, disrespecting, and deal-breaking in agreements. So we got to know what results we expect. Well, through this workshop and lectures and my radio programs, I would love to continue with this subject of the joyful inner child and effective communication. So if you know anyone who's interested, the program is on Sunday, September 22nd, and the telephone number to call for making reservations and getting your seats is 310-477-8833. The value for this seminar is $35 per person, and for two, it is $60. So for two people, it's $60, and for one, it's $35. You can get to your seats by calling 310-477-8833, or you can go to my website, drsadiq.com, and you can buy it online. I hope that this information is enough reason for you to understand the importance of the inner child and how it can ruin our lives if it's not dealt with in an appropriate manner. The barriers that exist between a healthy, joyful inner child and the child that is protective, anxious, and coming from a lack of self-esteem is not limited only to what we talked about. There are many other factors which in this workshop we'll be talking about. The use of language, how we talk, how we use our tone of voice, how we have a body language that is sending out a message. Imagine how if our body language is a childlike body language. Our facial expressions are childlike at age 40 or 50. And how this kind of communication can affect our relationships, our success, and our financial situation. We also talk about the inconsistencies between what we say and what messages we are sending. So it's really important to realize that the words that we choose are matching our attitudes. That is clear, that is concise, that is appropriate and adult-like. Also, culture plays a big factor in this. We come from different cultures. I come from a Middle Eastern culture that after 35, 40 years of being in this country, still is not the total American culture, but we can make understanding of each other by using the words the way that we come across each other without misunderstandings and with a clear identification of those differences. So when we have cultural differences, actually enjoying those differences is what makes us connected. I just wrote an article which was published in our newsletter last week, celebrating our differences. And the point that I made in this article was that although we all come from different places on earth, different religions, different languages, we can enjoy these differences instead of having disagreements over them. Unfortunately, our world is getting most of the time in trouble because of not accepting those differences. And in this workshop, we talk about celebrating the differences as well in communication. Sometimes we project ourselves onto others. We want others to do what we want to do. And subconsciously, we are just sending them the messages in a way that we put them in a situation that they do what we don't want to do or we want to do. As you can see, there are so many different areas. We talked about judgment, and judgments are something that needs to be gone from the adult way of being. Well, I think I gave you enough information on the importance of this child, and based upon what I'm sharing with you tonight, I hope that you find the urgency of this matter to deal with any emotional, psychological, mental discomfort that you have with someone who really understands the issue of the inner child, because although it's a subject that, as we said, many people have talked about, in therapy, it's not usually the main focus. Many therapists, they just go after the trauma and they deal with the trauma, but the inner child that is holding this trauma is not really looked at and discussed. So I invite you to ask more questions about understanding of the inner child. If you have any questions, you can call me on my cell phone, which is 323-997-9001, and I will be glad to answer. Or you can like my Facebook page at Dr. Daniel Sadiq, and you can contact me from the Facebook page. If you have any questions, my website is drsadiq.com. I'll be glad to give you more information on this important subject, and I hope to see you on Sunday, September 22nd at the Wheel of Wellbeing at 2 o'clock. Again, the number for this seminar's reservation is 310-477-883 or visit Dr. Sadiq, drsadigh.com. I hope that a healthy, happy, and prosperous life follows you every day. And I wish you blessings, and I say goodbye.